Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
The American culture is full of cliches related to lost causes. I'm going to climb to the top of the mountain or die trying. If only she'd see me for the wonderful person I am, I know she'd love me. Just one more roll of the dice, man. This is it. Show me the money. See, the problem with lost causes, according to our next guest, is that you only know in retrospect if indeed it was a lost cause and if hope was the proper strategy for success. And she is Kat McGowan, a journalist who specializes in health and medical topics, who wrote Champions of the Lost Cause, which ran in Psychology Today magazine. Kat, thanks so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
Hi, nice to be here.
How'd you get in the lost cause business?
Well, I was formerly a senior editor at Psychology Today, and one of the subjects that we wrote about all the time was grit and determination and how great it was and how important it was in terms of getting you to your goals in life. One of the great findings in psychology is that grit and determination are actually more important than intellect, than talent, than a lot of the things that we really prize in this culture.
I'm so disillusioned.
It is. It's really frustrating, isn't it? But the question that arose in my head was, well, when does grit and determination go too far?
Hmm.
And it seems like we don't really have a good marker of that. We love people when they try and succeed, but we laugh at people who just try and fail. Really, we have no way of telling who's going to fail and who's going to succeed.
There's even a word called Schadenfreude, which is a loan
exactly.
word from German, which means finding delight, finding levity in the misery and travails of others. We don't have an appropriate word in English, but it's still no fun.
That's true. So that was the pursuit that got me interested in this story. Was trying to understand, is there any good way to draw the line between the kinds of preoccupations that ennoble people and make them admirable, make them heroic even in their dedication, and the kinds of causes that destroy people and make them miserable?
You quote a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, Angela Duckworth, who said, in truth, it's not easy to predict who will turn out to be a visionary and who a crank. Geniuses and catastrophic failures share many of the same characteristics, including, well, determination, intense concentration, passion, and a disregard for conventional wisdom. So how does one sort out the lost cause, and how can you protect yourself, if that's even possible, from getting caught up in one?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's Angela Duckworth's research is the work on grit that I referenced before that we started with. So I think it's important to start off with the recognition or the observation that we're not talking here about the kinds of really dangerous, narrow obsessions that really get people in trouble in life. For example, alcohol or drug addiction is a prime example of that kind of obsession.
Or gambling, just one more roll of the dice, one more stake.
Exactly. And again, it's not that there's no difference between the beneficial, ennobling pursuit and the dark and dangerous one. It's not that, we just have no clue, and that's not what she meant when she said that either. It's more that there's a large gray area. So on the one extreme, it's obvious that pursuits that damage your life, that narrow your life, and that sort of narrow your spirit are not the kinds of lost causes that anyone would really be interested in exploring further. We can say those are obsessions. They're not healthy. They're not going to do you any good in the long run.
The other issue is, too, that a lot of people bring others into their obsession. You know, we have a curious admiration for people who go for it, and I guess we live vicariously through their triumphs and failures. But the real problem, as I see it, is that a lot of these I'm going to win or die trying folks are very charismatic and seduce followers into marching into the abyss with them. I'm thinking about Jim Jones, Jonestown, and the metaphor of drink the Kool-Aid, self-appointed martyrs who need true believers for affirmation and often to fight their battles. I mean, you got to watch out for these people in your life, but the problem is they're very attractive, they're very charismatic. And they're bad boys and bad girls, and we know how much we like them.
Because they're a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
And because they're a lost cause. And they may think of it as a lost cause, but it doesn't sound like a lost cause when they're introducing you to this brilliant idea. The flip side of that really sort of dark and ugly version of a lost cause is the sort of beautiful lost cause that brings you in touch with a greater community. So one of the people that I love talking to for this article was Al Yellen, who is one of the greatest of the great Cubs fans. Now, if you want to talk about lost causes, for those listeners who don't follow baseball, the Cubs are the most notorious losers in baseball, and they have this legion of fans, and this is really much bigger than the way the Red Sox fans used to be.
Now, does this have something to do with Misery Loves Company and all these folks get together?
Absolutely, but this is, it takes that to a whole new dimension.
A whole new level.
Yeah, which is that these Cubs fans, and it was so fun talking to him, and I actually interviewed also an anthropologist who studies the dynamics in the Cubs fans community, because they've really formed this society that transcends baseball. It transcends whether the Cubs win or lose. Of course, they're happy when the Cubs win, and they get a big boost from that, but they have this loyalty to their team that is really about a loyalty to each other. So
the question is, what would they do if they won? Would
right.
their life, I mean, that's always the question. What if they won the World Series?
Right.
What would they do with success? You know, there is something called fear of success.
I know what you're talking about. I didn't get, I asked Al Yellen that, and he said, of course we want the Cubs to win.
No, they really don't.
You know, I think in the short term, they would be jubilantly happy. In the longer term, I don't know. You have to ask him that question.
Well, Yellen's website is, you ready, folks? BleedCubbyBlue.com. So this guy is, he's got the tattoo and the website to prove. Let's discuss the last woman standing in Last Chance USA, your good friend Pam Weldon, who's been fighting a losing battle against a toxic waste dump in her tiny prairie town of appropriately named Last Chance, Colorado, a good place for a lost cause.
This woman is a rancher and had lived in this small town in Colorado where people had been filtering away for a generation, really, as, you know, the economy changed and there weren't jobs in small towns in Colorado. And a major waste disposal station was put in place just over the hill from where she lives.
Not in my backyard.
Well, her backyard is huge. She's ranching cattle out there. And she started fighting it because she felt like the reason that it was placed in that area was just basically because nobody was going to complain. And then the center started to get a permit to actually accept radioactive toxic waste as well. And she kept fighting it, and she kept fighting it, and she kept losing because she was just one woman, you know, and her neighbors against a much larger company. But she really felt, she didn't stop. And that is, I think, another aspect of the lost cause that can be really ennobling.
Well, she rationalized the whole thing by saying, when you get your mind made up, you know you won't win many of the battles, but you may make a lot of difference along the way. She may have found her mission and purpose in life. You know, there are people who wake up and say, this is it. This is why I was put on the earth. This is what I am supposed to do.
You know, she was such a pragmatist and such a realist about this project when I talked to her that I didn't get the sense that she was rationalizing it. It was more that she realized that there was a very small chance that she was going to completely triumph, but the fight itself had become really meaningful and really worthwhile. So even though it was a lost cause, from the outside perspective, it might have been perceived that way. It had transformed her life in a positive way, and I think that's a great example.
That's a great example
of the positive side of the obsession of a lost cause.
Our guest is Kat McGowan, a journalist who specializes in health and medical topics, who wrote the article "Champions of the Lost Cause" for Psychology Today magazine. You can learn more about lost causes by going to www.psychologytoday.com. Kat, final word: is it ultimately all worth it? Is that what you found?
I think so. Absolutely. In talking to these people, absolutely. The right kind of lost cause can really make somebody's life better.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD.